This is Nash with Radio Dead Air. We're taking a second take with Bruce Harwood and Tom Braidwood to get this interview because the microphone screwed up the first time. Gentlemen, thank you both for another shot at this.
No problem.
Sounds good.
Okay. We're talking about fandom and being part of something like this. Going from... you mentioned you'd been started in sci-fi.
Yeah.
I say you, Bruce. The people at home don't know who I'm gesturing to. Bruce, you started in sci-fi. But what's it been like being part of something like The X-Files? It's got this persistent, long-lasting fandom that just goes way beyond the life of the series.
I think the difference, I started out, as I said to you earlier, doing a science fiction sort of mini-series called Earthstar Voyager for Disney. And so I was sort of used to being on sci-fi sets, fantasy sets, whatever you want to call them. I think the main difference of The X-Files was its success and, I mean, first off, being called back to play the same role again for the second year. That was unusual. And then this sort of growing sense, first off, of the excitement on the set that the show was going to be renewed and keep going and was getting more and more attention. And then as I began to reappear in the series, I became more aware again of just how popular it was and I guess how popular our characters were. So that was that's what makes it distinct, obviously.
I was an actor in the 70s and then kind of got out of it in the late 70s, went behind the camera doing assistant directing work, whatever, and didn't really get back into it until the X-Files thing happened, which, you know, was a bit of an accident for me. It wasn't much of a surprise for me playing that kind of role because I had already been working on the show anyway and knew what it was about, so I just kind of fell into it naturally with the other guys.
Now, you, the three of you, with Dean, what did you do to work together? Once it became apparent these roles were going to be recurring and part of the series, what did you do to work with each other to develop them? Did they just sort of fall in together naturally, or?
Yeah, you got it right there. Basically, we showed up, we set our lines, we went home.
Yeah.
And I guess the natural vibe of what we were as three guys together is what made the characters and what probably gave the producers and the writers ideas, more ideas to do with us. Not a lot of preparation, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of it was that the characters seemed to be fairly well delineated in terms of the dialogue and the script, and we just, like Bruce said, we fell into a natural rhythm together without really talking about it or thinking about it, and it obviously just worked. It just sort of happened, and that's just kind of what we brought every time we did it. You know, we didn't mess with it at all. It just, we just seemed to relate well to one another, and that's how we played it.
You know, we did talk about the parts occasionally with each other, but it was always like jokes about what the characters were really like, what they really did, gag stuff, which I don't, you know, was never meant seriously, but it probably fed into how much we enjoyed doing it and what we were thinking while we were doing it.
And I think we talked about this, it was the writers watched what you were doing and built off of what they saw you.
I guess. I don't know. They never told me nothing.
I would imagine so, because our scenes got a little longer and a little more developed. So, yeah, I think the writers played off of us as much as we played off of them.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember what we covered before, because we had good things in the interview before. We were talking about when you finally got to a point where they gave you a single episode that was The Lone Gunman, and then another one, and then your own series. How would that? I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this. Growing in the series in that way, and getting characters that are becoming more and more ingrained in the series, how did you cope with, you know, moving from just, you know, a bit here to being center stage on all this? I'll go this way this time.
Uh-oh. I think we just adapted. I think we dealt with it as the first Lone Gunman show, the one that was about our origins and stuff, all of which we had sort of talked about and everything we thought was wrong once we got the script.
Yeah,
I believe we mentioned last time that you don't try to plan too far ahead because next week there would be something written that would contradict what you thought in your head.
Yeah, well, Bruce pointed that out, and it's very true. And And I think we just played it as an episode with a lot of little scenes with the gunman, and that's how we approached it.
I mean, I just, speaking of planning ahead, in my case, when I first played the role, very first year, I wore my wedding ring, and I just said, well, this character is married, in my head. And I continued to wear the ring up to the fifth season. Now, then our roles had continued to grow, and we'd actually taken a much more active participation in the stories in some cases. And then when the fifth season rolled around, there was this gap they had where David and Jillian weren't available and they needed to start shooting, so they put us in. So there's a little bit of fear of, well, I know we're fun here and there, but can we really be in a whole episode? And then the added fact of, well, I have to kiss a girl, so I have to take my ring off. So it was a flashback, so I figured that was okay. But then in season 6, they had Suzanne Modesky, the love of my life, come back, and I'd been wearing the ring all through season 5. So I had to reinvent my whole backstory about why I was wearing a wedding ring and why I'd taken it off just in time for Suzanne Modesky to reappear.
Have fans ever gone back and freeze frame and go, look, he's wearing it? Has that anyone ever done that sort of ridiculous stuff?
No one's ever brought it up. I have a feeling nobody noticed. If the writers didn't notice, then nobody else did. That's what I figured.
Let's see. We talked about what happened at the end. The episode Jump the Shark. Were you both happy with how your characters left the series near the end?
I don't think we were unhappy. Myself, I think we're a bit surprised, and to this day, not quite sure why they made the choice of killing us, although I got a very long, convoluted explanation from Frank Spotnitz one day, which I sort of walked away scratching my head, not really fully understanding. But, you know, it was what it was, and you kind of accept that as an actor. And
I think there's a couple of feelings I have. I don't mind dying off. I thought it was either two choices. Either we get killed in the line of duty, or we're like Charlie Chaplin walking down, off into the horizon with our little tramp bindles over our shoulders, you know, into adventures never imagined. What made me a little unhappy about the show was, and it wasn't anybody's fault, it was just the Lone Gunman and the X-Files, despite their kinship, are in fact two different creatures, and it's very difficult to take a Lone Gunman story and adapt it to an X-Files story, particularly in the mood of the last year of X-Files. And it was just I think it was a very awkward fit. And now, I mean, you asked me the question earlier, I thought about it again. I remember I was personally unhappy just because there were things I was asked to do in the final episode, just sort of the, you know, facing death stuff, which I never got. And then they never used those shots anyway, so it didn't matter. But I was I always felt like if I'd been better in that close-up, they would have used it. So there was a personal regret there as well.
That brings up something else. Was there anything you never got to do with the characters in the series that you wanted to, never got a chance at?
Well, I never got to go out with Scully.
Right, but we mentioned that.
There you go. That's about it.
I never got to shoot somebody. Yes. I just say that's always the actor's, male actor's choice. Like, when I grow up, I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to kiss the girl and shoot the bad guy. Well, I got to kiss the girl, but I never got to kill the bad guy.
Well, what do you both have coming up we can keep an eye out for soon?
Nothing immediate. A couple of things in the works, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm living the life of an actor, auditioning, looking around for stuff. Coming to conventions.
Gentlemen, thank you both for your time and talking with Tom Braidwood and Bruce Harwood from the Lone Gunman and the X-Files. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.